أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. For the love of Zahra, recite the second one louder. Insha'Allah, each and every one of us is able to bring joy to the hearts of the Lady Fatimatu Zahra by becoming a soldier of our Imam. Recite the third one even louder. We'd like to begin tonight by expressing our condolences to Imam al-Hujjah Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif wa arwahuna lahu al-fida on this very sad occasion of the demise and the shahada of our beloved and noble lady Fatimatu al-Zahra Salamullahi alayha. Most definitely, the memory of what happened to the mother of the A'imma, Ummul A'imma, in the city of Medina, the city of the Holy Prophet, the city that she should have been respected most, by those who knew her father most, are memories that bring grief to the heart of our beloved Imam and tears to his eyes. We hope and pray wherever he is that he helps us commemorate these occasions and that he helps us commemorate them in ways that please him and the Lady Fatimatu Zahra Salamullah Alayha. One of the things that is very important for us to try to accomplish in these commemorations is not to simply get together and shed tears, but see if these commemorations can be the continuation of what that ma'soom, that imam, in this case Lady Fatimatu Zahra Salamullah Alayha, has done. Have you ever thought about it in that way? Have we ever thought about it in that way? Can it be that through our commemorations, we can be continuing what the Lady Fatimatu Zahra, Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam al-Mujtaba, and the rest of the Imams were trying to accomplish? I think it's possible. One of the reasons why it sounds as though it may not be as possible to try to accomplish is because we don't have a clear understanding of what they set out to do. If we had a clear understanding of what the Imams, what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra set out to do, I think we can see a clear connection between that and what we do today. And we can make these commemorations the continuation of what they have done. Recite the salawat, please. There is a very important link between the movement or what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha did in Medina and the movement of the rest of the Imams and the movement of the Imam of our time. And I hope we get to see that in these sessions, and we get to remind ourselves every year, every occasion Fatimiyya, every occasion of Muharram and Safar, in all the shahadat of the Ahlul Bayt, so that we can continue what they set out to accomplish, which will show itself and manifest itself in the coming of the Imam of our time. And what I mean by that isn't something that the Imam of our time is going to be doing, but rather it is something that we are going to be doing. So the key in understanding what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha did in the period of time between the demise of the Holy Prophet and her own demise, her own shahada, is extremely important. After all, this is what we are commemorating. What we are commemorating in the shahada isn't what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha did during the lifespan of the Holy Prophet. That needs to be commemorated. That needs to be remembered. We need to draw lessons from that. But what we need to focus on, and this occasion reminds us of, and this is why we are dressed in black and we have the black curtains up, is because of what happened between the demise of the Holy Prophet and the shahada of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. What did this lady do? Most of us, almost all of us, I think do injustice to the Lady Fatima al-Zahra by not understanding not only the amount of effort and work she put into this, not only what exactly she did, some of the incidents, some of the very sad events that took place, we have heard, but the enormous impact she had on the Muslim Ummah, which has lasted up to today, is something that many times I feel we're not understanding. And this is injustice to the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. It's important that we understand this. One of the things that is understood to be the reason for the events or for the incident of the shahada of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, and something which is spoken of continuously in Shia circles, is the matter of Fadak. The way some of us perceive what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha has done has to do with Fadak. In fact, the Shia give so much importance to the incident of Fadak that Fadak has become one of those names that you'll find here and there, and wherever you find it, you know the owner of that shop of that store, of that whatever it is Shia. It's an important issue. But what is the incident of Fadak? Fadak was a pretty large piece of land outside of Medina, outside of Khaybar, which was a Jewish fortress, the last of which, this was a little further away from Medina, the Holy Prophet conquered. And the way he conquered it, and he conquered Fadak, was that at least for Fadak, the Holy Prophet struck a deal with the people. He sent the army, led by Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullah alayh, to deal with the people that were in that land, which was very wealthy because of the orchards that were there and the amount of income that existed there. That was what made that region pretty rich, whereas, or a good part of it, a good portion of it, had to do with Fadak. The Holy Prophet sent the army there, and the Jews that were residing there decided that this army is not something that they're going to be standing in its way, as they had seen what the army had done previously with other communities, other Jewish communities right outside of Medina, and also especially what they did to Khaybar. Khaybar was considered an extremely, not only wealthy fortress, but a very strong one, protected by numerous very strong warriors. And they would joke around with the Muslims whenever there was talk of the believers of the Muslimin coming around towards Khaybar. And so you think if you've been able to conquer some of the other Jewish fortresses, you think you can conquer Khaybar? It's not something that you can conquer. And it was a pretty difficult battle with Khaybar itself. As many commanders who thought themselves to be brave and strong and capable went forward, but they all lost the battle, and Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi was the one that was sent by the Holy Prophet to conquer Khaybar. The people of Fadak, seeing what happened there, realized that they don't even stand a chance. So they decided they're going to hand over their land, struck a deal with the Holy Prophet that we get to stay on half of the property and we'll pay taxes and the rest of it we'll just hand over completely to you. When something like that happens, according to the Islamic law, what has been taken by the Muslims without there being battle, like in this case, all of the land that is conquered in that way belongs to the Holy Prophet and the Imams. It's called Anfal. In fact, in Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Battle of Khaybar, that's where, at least one of the places, if not the only, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Anfal, it belongs to the Holy Prophet. After the conquest of Khaybar and Fadak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a message in the form of revelation to the Holy Prophet. And he said to him to give dhal qurba, those who were close to him, their haqq, what they rightfully deserve. The Holy Prophet asked the angel that came with the message, who is this dhal qurba that deserves something? The angel said, it's Fatima salamullah alayha. And the angel continued to say that you need to give her Fadak. The Holy Prophet gave her Fadak during his lifetime, and this is after the conquest of Khaybar. There's about a year or maybe even more between that occasion and the demise of the Holy Prophet. So what the lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha did, this is a wealthy, this is a very rich land, and there's a lot of wealth coming out of it. And therefore, the lady Fatima al-Zahra could have workers that she could pay off with the land itself. She hired some workers, and the workers started working on that land. And this continued until the demise of the Holy Prophet. We all know the story of Saqifa after the demise of the Holy Prophet, where the companions of the Holy Prophet gathered. And that's a piece of history I don't want to get into too extensively, but I'll just make this note. There are very important details in the story of Saqifa and very important lessons that can be taken, should be taken from that, which we've discussed in other occasions, and I'm not going to be discussing that right now. The companions of the Holy Prophet, that when in Hudaybiyah the Holy Prophet wanted to show how loyal they are to him, in front of the kuffar that had come from Mecca to prevent the Holy Prophet and his companions to go for Umrah, the Holy Prophet performed wudu. And without telling these companions used to jump to catch the drops of water dripping from the arms and the face of the Holy Prophet as tabarruk and for barakah. This is how much they loved the Holy Prophet. These same companions gathered in Saqifa and decided that they wanted to decide on who is the Khalifa after the Holy Prophet. And obviously we know that the result was they decided in the end, again, those conversations, what they exactly said is very important. And many lessons can be taken from that. But in the end, it was Abu Bakr that they pledged allegiance to. And this is only a few of the companions in Saqifa. They came out and they went around and they started gathering more and people created an atmosphere where people thought that they have to pledge allegiance. How they did that is also important, but it's not something I'm going to be focusing on. They got a lot of people to pledge allegiance to Abu Bakr. Then naturally, when they come to people that are a bit stronger, and they remember that in Ghadir, just over a month ago, after Hajjatul Wida', the Holy Prophet had said to the people that the Khalifa after him is Amir al-Mu'mineen, they protested. There weren't too many, but they did. Some of them were able to carry on with that protest, and those were the closest to Amir al-Mu'mineen. There's a list of people that we have, out of the men especially. Some have stated around 12, 13 people that didn't pledge allegiance. But there were, in the beginning, a larger number that didn't pledge allegiance. Amir al-Mu'mineen protested. They came, and that's his own story. That's one of the other areas that the lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha was involved with, protecting Amir al-Mu'mineen. I don't want to get into the details of that. After that incident of bringing Amir al-Mu'mineen and forcing him to accept that he's not going to be fighting the Khalifa, in other words, after they decided that they have everybody on board, Amir al-Mu'mineen showed that he's not okay with this, but in the end he had to agree that he's not going to fight. After they did that, The issue of Fadak begins after the Holy Prophet. What we generally see is this, that people say, okay, this piece of land belonged to the lady Fatima al-Zahra, given to her by her father, and now for some odd reason, some state reason, which is, I believe, oversimplified, and that is hatred. Hatred of the Ahlul Bayt. Hatred of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. The father of Aisha, the wife of the Holy Prophet, because of the relationship that was at odds between the two, Aisha, obviously, this is all over history, she had issues with the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, and Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is the father, and somehow he has hatred. So now that he's gotten this khilafah, he has authority, he's got the control, he's got the means. He took this piece of land from the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. And what happens? She goes and she asks for it back, and she says, this is mine. And they don't give it to her. This is the issue of Fadak. And somewhere along the lines, according to some narrations, a piece or a writing was given, and then it was snatched from the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, where she was also mistreated in the street. The details you all know. So basically, there was a fight on a piece of land that's known as Fadak. And the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, was upset after this because they took her piece of land away from her. Is this the Lady Fatima al-Zahra? A piece of land? The one who gave everything she had for the cause of Allah, when she only had a piece of bread for 3 days, she gave that away. Now all of a sudden she's become that greedy on a piece of land. Let me give you this bit of information as well to see how it sounds to you. I wish we had the time to go over all the conversations that took place between Abu Bakr and the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. If you go over some of those statements, some of those conversations, if you and I didn't have this belief with regards to the Ahlul Bayt, if we didn't already know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. If we didn't know that they are pure of sin and they are sinless, you and I would have doubted who was on the right path. Who was the one who was saying and doing the right thing? And it's no wonder, I really don't blame people who haven't understood the isma of the Ahlul Bayt, people who don't believe in the imama of the Ahlul Bayt. I don't blame them too much for thinking that the Shias are blowing this out of proportion. Because some of those statements are pretty difficult to swallow. And to think that, oh, who's saying the right thing? Some of those statements, Abu Bakr seems, the way he's presenting it, that this belongs to the believers. When she gives the khutbah, the very important khutbah, he gives a short talk. It's just a few lines in the masjid. He acts as though he's trying to respect her. He puts her down as a female. And he portrays himself as someone, as a man, as a companion of the Holy Prophet, that is considering what's best for the ummah, and he's not taking anything that rightfully belongs to the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. He makes it sound like she's asking for a piece of land, and he's looking, or in other words, the way it sounds, let me make it even, the way it sounds when I read it, it sounds as though the daughter of the Holy Prophet, al-'ayadu billah, is trying to look for privileges. Because she's the daughter of the Prophet, now that the Holy Prophet has passed away at this point, because there's stages in the conflict and the dispute of Fadak, at this stage, there's talk of inheritance, irth. That's not the original claim, but it turned into that. It sounded as though she's looking for privileges. And Abu Bakr is saying, I respect you, but I am going to do things the way the Prophet said. And it seems this way. Well, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra is asking for a piece of land. Is this the way? Is this what we understand of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra? All of this, putting herself down in that way, just for a piece of land? Not the Fatima al-Zahra that I know. She wouldn't be doing that. There is evidence, brothers and sisters, that the matter of Fadak is not simply a piece of land. That's not what she put her life down on. That's not what she went to the masjid and spoke out against. A couple of pieces of evidence, a couple of clues with regards to this. One is the khutbah of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. I was looking in one of the books. There are over 10 different sources that have reported the khutbah of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. When you look at the khutbah, it doesn't sound like someone's coming and asking for a piece of land. The focal point of what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha is talking about in that khutbah is going back to the previous conflict, and that is the khilaf of Amirul Mu'mineen. She's going and talking about Fadak, but she gives a long talk, and the focal point of it is what the Holy Prophet said. What happened after the demise of the Holy Prophet, the Imamah, the Khilaf of Amirul Mu'mineen, what she created in the masjid is amazing. After she was done with the lecture and the conversations went back and forth, when she left the masjid, a group of the Ansar, first of all, she made everybody cry in the masjid. All those tough men were in tears. And afterwards, people came, there's interesting conversations. Afterwards, the Ansar came and they had a couple of statements that were exchanged. And she condemned them, made them see how what they had done was such a great mistake. This is one clue. When you look at the khutbah, it doesn't sound like someone is going in as an individual trying to protect their right. The second clue is not at the time of the Lady Fatimatu Zahra, but rather it's all the way at the time of Imam al-Kadhim salamullah. Before I mention what Imam al-Kadhim says and the account there, I need to mention something with regards to Fadak itself. Well, Fadak was taken away, and it wasn't returned at that time. Later on, one of the Umayyads handed it back to the Ahlul Bayt, and then it was taken away again. This went on a couple of times. I don't know exactly how many, I can't remember that. But it went back and forth a couple of times. During the time of Imam al-Kadhim, and when the Khalifa, the Abbasid Khalifa, was Harun, known as Harun al-Rashid. Now, I don't want to get into the history of Imam al-Kadhim, because that itself requires a separate discussion to understand what this Imam did. I don't want to get into that. But in brief, there's a reason why Harun was so harsh on the Imam. It wasn't just that Harun was picking on the Imam for no reason. Again, as we mentioned with regards to the first Khalifa, oversimplifying it and simply calling it hatred without knowing what is the cause of this. Imam al-Kadhim fought very seriously against the Khalifa. Politically, of course, not with the sword. It was a political battle that the Imam was fighting, and that's why he was in prison. In one occasion, when Imam al-Kadhim was in the presence of Harun, and Harun is really tired of this battle that he's fighting, the political battle that he's fighting with Imam al-Kadhim, he turns around to Imam al-Kadhim and says, just tell me what the boundaries of this Fadak are. What are the boundaries? I'll just give it back to you guys and it's a done deal. Right? Let's stop fighting about this whole thing. You guys are weeping and crying about Fadak, in my words. I'll give it back to you. Just tell me what the size of that is. What are the boundaries? Where is it? Where is that Fadak that was taken away from you? You guys are so upset about Fadak being taken away from you. Imam al-Kadhim tells him, I don't think you'll be returning Fadak to us if I tell you what the boundaries are. He said, no, go ahead, tell me. Imam al-Kadhim starts describing the boundaries. You know what he gives as the boundaries? He gives the boundaries of the Muslim Empire. The whole of it. He says, that's Fadak. Okay, hand it over. You may think that this is maybe a way that the Imam is speaking to the Khalifa simply to talk about the matter of Khilafah without it being related to Fadak. It's not the case. It's not the case. The matter of Fadak is the matter of the Imam and the Khilafah. Recite a salawat, please. We'll talk about Fadak a bit to see what the Lady Fatimatu Zahra was trying to do in that incident. But one, I'm talking about what is not the reasons or is not what Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alayha did. And some of us, at least at the back of our minds, this is their understanding of what she has done. One is to look at the issue of Fadak and say, okay, there's this idea of Fadak being taken away from her, her rights being usurped, and al-maghsuba haqquha. And so we weep for her, we cry, she was mistreated. The second thing that sometimes I hear with regards to the Lady Fatima al-Zahra and what she did, and also what Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi did after the Holy Prophet, which again I think is really belittling Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Lady Fatima al-Zahra and what they both did. And that is to say that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, this sounds a bit better than the previous one, but it's still, it says that, or people say, have heard this many times, that what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha tried to do was to protect the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen, focusing on the word, the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Government, Khilafah, was a right of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And that was taken away from Amir al-Mu'mineen. In Saqifa, that right was taken away from Amir al-Mu'mineen. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, tried to take that from those who had usurped it and give it back to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Or at least in one of the incidents, to prevent it being taken away from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Haqq, the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The issue that I have with that is, was Amir al-Mu'mineen, do you really believe that Ali, the man who slept in the bed of the Holy Prophet when, other than news of the unseen, apparently he would have and should have been killed, but he put his life down. The man who stood beside the Holy Prophet in the Battle of Uhud, single-handedly almost, or being the main figure that protected the Holy Prophet and took many wounds because of that. This man is upset because his right was taken away from him. He's upset because God had said, you have the right to rule, and these people had taken that from him. I'm sorry, but that sounds to me like a loser. That doesn't sound like Amir al-Mu'mineen to me. If it's the right to rule, the right to govern, I should have been boss, not you guys. That's what it sounds like to me when it's put in those words. Recite a salawat, please. There may be some other things that here and there are said. These are the two main reasons why I hear when we talk about the Lady Fatima al-Zahra and what she did and what she put her life down for are, and I feel that these two incidents and these two concepts need to be revisited. What is it exactly that we are commemorating? I'll mention this question that was posed to me. I don't know, maybe the sister is even sitting in the crowd in this conference in Chicago. One of the sisters asked me a good question, a really good question. She said, I'm writing, if I remember correctly, books or booklets on the stories of the companions of Imam al-Hussein and Imam al-Hussein himself as well, for the children. My approach is to try to show these characters, these individuals, as heroes. As heroes. The problem I'm facing is that all the stories that I've heard, I can't really present them as heroes. How can I present this story as a story of heroes when all we know about them is just going over there and going to the battlefield and all of them getting killed? What type of a hero is that? What can a person take pride in that? if simply some people went over and they fought and they all got killed, if this is how it's put, what's the value of what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha has done during this time? What was she able to accomplish? What did she put her life down for? It needs to be understood correctly. And in order to do that, I'll introduce the topic, but we're going to continue it, inshallah, tomorrow night. There's a concept all of us are familiar with. But many times, we misunderstand. We don't have a full understanding of. We understand parts of it, but we don't have a full understanding of it. And that's where the problem lies. And that's the concept of Imam. What the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha was doing after the Holy Prophet, whether it was standing in the door to prevent people from coming and forcefully taking Amirul Mu'mineen, knowing that obviously they would be able to come in, but standing there for a reason, to allow this to be recorded in history, or when she went over and asked for her fadak back, and when she went to the masjid and spoke, she wasn't trying to get a piece of land back, and she wasn't trying to protest the right of her husband being taken away from. That's not what she was doing. What she was doing was doing whatever is in her ability to bring the concept of imama into the society. Make it a real concept in society. Make it practical in society, in the community of believers. In other words, there's something about imama, all right? There's something about imama that we need to understand that's not in here. There's something with regards to imama that we have, I believe, missed for a very long time. And we need to try to understand that better. If we understand that, then the steps that are taken by the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, understanding the context she was in, you would realize the wisdom of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, her social political activism, and the effectiveness of the works that she has done. Without understanding this concept of imam properly, we'll have deficient understandings of what the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha has done. Inshallah, we'll try to discuss that matter to the limited ability that we have, inshallah, tomorrow night. And we'll see how that concept of fadak has a different twist to it, inshallah. Assalamu alaykum. Ya وموضع الرسالات ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الواحين ومعدنا الرحمن وخزان العلم ومنتهى الحلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, angels descend upon you, day in and day out, seeking permission before entering upon you. صلى الله عليك أيتها الصديقة الشهيدة المغصوبة حقها May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Lady Fatima al-Zahra, the Lady whose rights were usurped. As-salamu alayki ya mumtahanatu mumtahanaki Allah قبل أن خلقك فوجدك لما أصابك صابرا. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, the lady who was examined before she was created, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found her patient upon what was going to befall her. Let's take our hearts, brothers and sisters, to Medina. We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to visit Medina, which the loneliness of the Ahlul Bayt can still be felt. Visit the A'imma in Baqiyya, the A'imma with no shrines. Let's go to the house of Amirul Mu'mineen. Brothers and sisters, this is the night of the Shahada of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. I believe it is tomorrow, sometime during the day, that the lady Fatima to Zahra, according to accounts, tells Fidda, send Hassan and Hussein. If I don't awaken, send Hassan and Hussein to the masjid. After watching the lady Fatima to Zahra, having covered her face with the sheets, calling upon her, Ya bint Rasulillah, Ya Fatima al-Zahra, not getting any responses, she sent Imam Hassan and Imam al-Hussein to the masjid, calling your father to come home. If he wishes to see Fatima alive again. Imagine Amir al-Mu'mineen. After all of what has happened, watching and seeing Hassan and Hussein coming, hurrying and rushing in. Oh, Father, if you want to see our mother alive, rush to the house. I haven't seen this in books myself, but some of the reciters who check these books, I have seen them say, Amir al-Mu'mineen fell to the ground. He got up, rushed to the house of the lady Fatima al-Zahra. Awwal madloom. Sitting by the body of the lady Fatima al-Zahra, saying Fatima, calling her name. Not hearing a response, probably saying, Fatima, Ana Ali, don't be like the people of Medina that don't respond to Ali. They say the lady Fatima al-Zahra responded to Amir al-Mu'mineen. It is said that the lady Fatima al-Zahra said something to Amir al-Mu'mineen that I feel pierced the heart of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, Ya Ali, I have heard my father say, the worst thing that a woman can have when she leaves this world is that her husband is not pleased with her. Ya Ali, if I've done anything wrong these years in your house, if I ever disobeyed you, please forgive me. I think to myself, what was Amir al-Mu'mineen thinking at this point when he hears these words? Maybe he's thinking, Fatima,
What are you saying? After taking the blows you did, after taking the lashes you did, when you stood in the door preventing them from coming in, why are you bringing this pain to my heart? You gave everything you had to protect me. Sallallahu alayk. Brothers and sisters, we have to weep for the loneliness of Amir al-Mu'mineen on this night. He's losing his only support in Medina. He used to come home upset from outside, but seeing the beautiful face of the lady Fatima al-Zahra would soothe his heart. But from tomorrow night, brothers and sisters, when Amir al-Mu'mineen comes home, all he sees is the little children. He sees Imam Hassan, Imam al-Hussein, seeing the lady Zainab. Sallallahu alaykum. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك اسمك العظيم الأعظم الزهراء وأبيها وبعالها وبنيها السر المستودع فيه لكي يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبه اوليائك. والله we ask you by the rights of the lady Fatima al-Zahra that you hasten the return of our beloved Imam. Oh, we ask you by the right of the lady Fatima al-Zahra, I know personally I'm suffering from sins. We need to avoid them, Ya Allah. By the right and the truth of the lady Fatima al-Zahra, forgive us all of our sins. Help us have a new beginning. These sins, brothers and sisters, prevent us from being able to have the strong connection with the Ahlul Bayt. The sins are what cause us to not be able to get in touch with and contact the Imam of our time. They prevent us from being able to see him. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us all of our sins. That you forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who've passed away of their sins. We ask you to grant all believers their hajat, relieve all the ill of amongst the believers of their illnesses and difficulties and hardships. We ask you by the right and the truth of the Imam of our time, the one that will spread justice throughout the globe, that you relieve all the people of the world of the injustices they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Ali, rahimallahu man qara al-Fatihata ma'as-salawat.